Ephesians chapter 6. Talk about the whole armor of God. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And I know we read this last week. We're going to read it again this week. Probably going to read it again next week. And remember the challenge. The challenge is that you read it daily. Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 20. I won't ask this week how many have, but I trust. I just know you all have, right? The reason I want you to do that, it does equip you for the battle. And friends, there's a battle going on. And it gets tougher and tougher with each day. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which is with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Again, let's turn our hearts to the Lord in prayer. Brother Michael Weatherford, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. I remember as a boy, I don't know, I was somewhere in the neighborhood of 10, 11 years old. I had just arrived home from school one day, and Mom and Dad were standing out in the yard. It was a stormy day. They had heard of a tornado warning in our area or something to that effect. They were standing out watching the clouds. And I got off the school bus and I stood with them for 15, 20 minutes and we were standing out there. And all of a sudden, we saw this tornado. Have you ever seen a tornado? And I don't know how far it was, but it wasn't that far, maybe a couple miles away. But I saw this tornado just began to dip down out of the sky. And it continued down and until it touched the ground. And I remember this cold, fearful feeling that overwhelmed me. We didn't have a storm shelter. And I remember thinking, what do we do? What do we do? And you know, as a kid, you multiply that feeling of helplessness even worse. It's, where do we go? And I remember the feeling of relief as we stood there. And I watched that tornado that had come down out of that cloud begin to suck itself back up in that cloud. And it looked like it was probably a mile away from the house or so coming across the field. And I saw it as it sucked back up into the cloud and the cloud passed over and never saw it again. And it's hard to describe the relief there. And as I was, that come to mind as I was preparing this message in the armor of God. You know, just as I was helpless and we were helpless watching that tornado as it approached, there are a lot of things in this life that leaves us absolutely helpless. And we realize that, my goodness, you know, especially in the midst of that storm, we realize that we're way in over our heads and we're thinking, what do we do? What do we do? Well, today I want to tell you that there is good news. There is a super storm shelter from the storms of life, if you will, and His name is Jesus. But you've got to know how to deal with the storms. You've got to know how to fight the battles. And that's what this message or these messages are all about. And we begin today with the shield of faith. the shield of faith, the soldier's shield. In our text, it said, above all. And as we read that and we think, well, this is the most important one. No, I think that's kind of a misleading translation. The meaning of that is in addition to. It doesn't take away from the importance of this shield, but it does also assert the importance of every other item of the armor, such as the belt. You can't have the shield without the belt of truth. You can't have the shield without the breastplate of righteousness. You can't have the shield without the shoes of the gospel. It takes them all. But you most especially do need this shield. You know what a shield is, right? Soldiers would carry it two feet wide, 4 feet long. And it's what they would get behind as the enemy would stand and shoot their flaming arrows over at the opposing army. The soldiers would get behind that shield. And the arrows would strike that shield and fall harmlessly to the ground. That's the point of the shield. And as long as that soldier was behind that shield, those arrows couldn't get to him. But if he dropped his shield, he'd be in trouble. Now let's talk about the supernatural. Let's talk about the supernatural shield. We're not just talking about a soldier's shield. We're talking about the shield that every Christian has to have. And that shield, of course, is faith. And when we use the term faith, we're talking about the trust in the power and the promises of Almighty God. Do you know that God is faithful? Do you build your life upon that statement that God is faithful? You have to have faith also. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's the typical Bible answer when you ask somebody what is faith. They just quote Hebrews 11 chapter 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. But let's see what that means. That word substance means assurance. And it's living with the assurance that you know, hey, God has got this. Do you realize that? That doesn't matter what face, what battle you're fighting, God is still on His throne. Jesus is still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He still takes care of His children. And you live with that confidence. Say, Brother Doug, how do you develop that confidence? Well, you develop that confidence by the last part. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know what evidence is, right? It's proof. It's certainty. This is, you have the assurance because of what you know and what you have seen Jesus do personally in your life. Just like what Beth sang about a while ago. Have you seen the mighty hand of God in your life? You see, that's what it's talking about. Because I've seen the power of God in my life, I live with confidence. I've seen God get me through financial crisis that when I look back, the numbers didn't make sense, but every bill got paid. Have you been there? Say amen. I've seen God carry me when I could not go on my own. There's been times in pastoring and times in preaching that have been particularly stressful, and I've just got on my knees and said, God, I can't do this. And when I got off my knees, got up, God gave me the grace and the power to get through. That's the evidence. I've seen God carry people when they could not go on their own. I've seen God work in this church. I've had people ask me, Brother Doug, what's the secret to the growth at Victory? And you know what I say? God! It's not a program. It's not because they have this really sharp pastor, because I wish you did, but you know, you've got me. So, it's not the preacher. It's not the music. It's the God that everything is pointed toward. And it's that God that's moving here today. I've seen God work in this church. I've seen doctors say there's no hope. And that same person that the doctors say that there's no hope, I've seen them walk fine out of the hospital. The doctors say, I don't understand. And I want to say, ooh, I know the answer. This is the God that I serve. This is the God that we worship. I've seen doctors diagnose people with cancer and they come back a few days later and there's nothing there. The doctors say, I don't get it. And I say, hey. And you know, the first thing that comes to our mind when something like that happens, well, the doctors made a mistake. He didn't really have cancer. Oh, no. Yeah, no, don't discredit God. God is great. That's the answer. And you see, you've got to stop. And you've got to take note of these evidences of the power of God in your life. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Everybody, if you're a child of God, you have been transformed out of the darkness into the light. You have seen God work in your life. You know the power is there. Live in that power. In that confidence. That's what faith is. I mean, this is very vital in your armor. As a matter of fact, Hebrews 11 and 6 tells us how vital faith is. It says, but without faith, it is, what's that word? Let's do it one more time. But without faith, it is impossible. I want you to get that. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for He who comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Without faith, it is impossible. You know what that word impossible means? Literally, it means it's impossible. But in the Greek, it means, it not only does it mean impossible, it means powerless. You have no power to serve and to please God aside from faith. I love the story of Matthew chapter 14 of Peter when he sees Jesus walking on the water. We all know that story, right? Peter gets excited along with the rest of the disciples, and Jesus approaches the disciples. He's walking on the Sea of Galilee. Peter gets excited and says, Jesus, if that really is you, bid me to come out here. Bid me to come walk on the water with you. Jesus says, come on. Peter jumped out of that boat. But what I do want to point out to you, at least he did have the faith to get out of the boat. Okay? Peter got out of that boat and he started walking. And Peter was doing fine. Until Matthew 14, 30, 31 says, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. He saw those waves begin to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And he lost sight of Jesus, whom he was trusting to walk on the water. And he started out, Jesus was big enough, but as he walked, the bigger the waves got, the smaller Jesus got. That's backwards. See, the bigger the storms get, the tougher the storms of this life gets, the bigger Jesus has to be focused on in our lives. He is our shield. He is our strength. He is our power. And as these waves began to rise up, he began to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. And thank God for grace. Amen. And Jesus reached out his hand and took Peter by the hand. And you know what he said? He said, oh, Peter, oh, thou of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt, Peter? I want to tell you today, most Christians are sinking because of their doubt, not because of the storm. You may be facing health issues. You may be facing financial crisis. You may be facing marriage crisis. You need that shield because Satan's in your ear lying to you. Telling you it's not going to work. Telling you you're going to fall. Telling you this is going to overwhelm you. I want to tell you, by the authority of the Word of God, if you are a child of God, the hairs on your hair are numbered. Yes, Jesus cares for you. And He is looking out for your best. He is. Oh, Peter started to sink. Jesus lifted him up. Valuable lesson. Keep your eyes on Jesus. I think about that. And I look at how many times I begin to sink. When we don't have to sink. I look at this and I'm reminded. That every great, and get this. Every great man of God and every great woman of God were not great because they were great men and women. They were great because of their faith. Every one of them. As a matter of fact, when you read the whole chapter of Hebrews chapter 11, you'll read about Abel, who offered a more acceptable sacrifice before God. You'll read about the faith of Enoch, who walked with God, the faith of Noah, who built the ark, the faith of Abraham, who obeyed God and departed his home country for a new country. You'll read about the faith of Sarah, who bore the promised child, the faith of Moses, who refused to be called the son of Pharaoh. And time and time again, you see God working in a mighty way, all because of their faith. My friends, I take you back to the very beginning. Faith is that shield. When Satan says, I'm going to mow you down, you throw that shield of Jesus Christ before you. You say, you got to go through Jesus to get to me. When life gets tough, you throw Jesus in front of that obstacle. And you tell that obstacle, get out of my way. Me and Jesus are coming through. You see, the difference between greatness and God, the difference between seeing the mighty hand of God and not, is the shield of faith. You know something that they would do with those shields, the Roman soldiers, they were made so they could interlock together. They would lock them together and they would begin to press forward against the enemy. And they would begin to push that enemy over and out of the way with a big wall of shields. It was just like a wall coming at them. That's what we're talking about. Okay? Not only is it defense, it is your path forward as we lock arm in arm and face the trials, the temptations, the challenges, and the battles of this life. The shield of faith. And the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. What are we talking about? We're talking about head protection. It says, take the helmet of salvation. Literally, that means to accept. Something Jesus offers, He'll give you. The idea is put it on. How important is the helmet? That's the question you got to ask. Well, how important is your head? You answer that question, you can answer the first. Okay? The head directs, motivates the whole body. If the head's not right, the whole body's going to be wrong. Okay? As you know, I enjoy a good motorcycle ride on occasion. Love to put my girlfriend on the back. That's the lady that sung the song a while ago. And take off and just ride around on the countryside. But I'll tell you what, you may see Beth and I out riding, but one thing you will not see. You will not see she nor I riding that motorcycle without a helmet. Okay? Because I have the vision that the one time that I don't put that helmet on is the one time I'll smack my head on that pavement. If I do that, the pavement wins, you know? Beth and I have traveled before and on our trips and we'll pull into a hotel and she's got what she calls helmet hair. Okay? And I'm a man. I don't care. What you see is what you get, right? I'll put on my hat and we'll go. But anyway, first thing we'll do when we pull into that hotel and check into her room is she'll go and she'll wash her hair, because she got helmet hair. And we're going to go out to dinner. And there's been a few times that she'll wash her hair, come out, and I'll say, okay, what do you want for dinner? Oh, I don't know. Let's just go across. There'll be a restaurant across the street. And let's just go. Okay, let's go to that restaurant. And she's asked me, do I have to wear my helmet? She says, it's just across the street. And I say, honey, I don't care if you got helmet hair, put it on. Okay? Because the head's important. And one little bobble, like I say, and you know, that head goes against that pavement. And you may ride a motorcycle and not put on your helmet. My opinion don't matter, but I think you're pretty dumb, but... Okay, but I love you anyway. Uh, You've got to protect that head. Because if you can't think, you can't function. You can't function. But that's the concept behind the soldier. Put the helmet of salvation on. He's talking about protecting you from that deadly blow, from that club or that axe that would be swung at you. And when he says the helmet of salvation, it's not talking about just that new birth experience. It's talking about every aspect of what salvation is. Okay? Everything you have through the salvation. Your saving, your delivering, your perseverance, your means of deliverance. Everything you are through being a child of God. Put that helmet on, Jesus says here. Because Satan goes after the mind. As a matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, he says, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing." Why? "Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who did not believe lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." Listen. Satan, one of Satan's greatest weapons is going after the mind. Getting you to think wrong. What's happened to our world today? I mean, we look and we complain and we ask, where's this world headed? I can tell you what's happening. Satan has influenced us to set aside things like divine revelation in favor of human reasoning. For example, to a man, the theory of evolution sounds good. And I'll share this with all our students. And you get as old as I am and people try to push evolution on you, you just laugh at them because you know that's just silly. But they're trying to push it hard in grade school all the way up through our colleges, academia, period. And to a man, the theory of evolution, and I point out it is called the theory of evolution. Okay? It's not a law of evolution. It's, anyway. We'll get on that. But see, human reasoning says that's more plausible than God creating. As a matter of fact, I've even heard some Christians say there's nowhere in the Bible that evolution is discredited. How about Genesis chapter 1? I don't know. Okay? God created man in His own image. He did not create man in an amoeba. Or a fish, or a monkey. He created man in His own image. Okay? And see, the human logic has to come up with, this is how it all comes. We evolved and we swam for a while, then we got out and hung from our tails for a while and come up with this. It's not logical. You know? But satanic influence has influenced our society to say, this is how it is. Instead of taking divine revelation for what it is. The battle for the mind is also creating a situation in society where humanism is more attractive than holiness. Have you noticed that? How that, you know, I have my right to do and live my life any way I see fit, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else. And I want to tell you, that's the silliest statement, because you cannot live your life any way that you see fit and not hurt somebody else. It's impossible. It's just, you know, it's like my free speech. I have the right to free speech. So therefore, I have this filthy mouth. And if they don't like it, that's too bad. Well, let me offer you this. You may have the right to free speech, but I have the right not to have to hear your filth. Okay? So my question is, where does your right stop and mine begin? You see what I'm saying? You can't live like you want to and not hurt someone else. This humanism thinking says you can do what you want to do and it's nobody else's business. But it is someone else's business, because everybody around you has to live with your decisions also. It's also entered into our churches, undermining our belief that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. You see, there was one day that we were... That our country just accepted, if the Bible said it's right, it's right. If the Bible said it's wrong, it's wrong. There was not anymore. You see, then we moved. Even I remember the day, even when people that didn't go to church had a deep respect for the Word of God. But then our humanistic thinking kicked in, and the 1960s kicked in, of the age of free love and drugs, and decide we'd do what we wanted to do, and that nobody or nothing had the right to tell us what was right and wrong. We'd decide for ourselves. So we took prayer out of school. We took the Ten Commandments from the courthouse, and we began to remove God from every aspect of society. And man said, oh, this is good. Then he began to go into movie theaters and get shot. Then he began to go into schools or send his children to public schools, and our children began to get shot. And we backed up and wondered, oh, this must be the act of guns. Let's take the guns away. No, this is the act of a society that has turned their backs on Almighty God and said, we don't want you. No. No. You see, this helmet of salvation, Satan has infiltrated the minds of America. And we wonder what's going on with our country. I have the answer. Can't get our mind right. There was an old movie. I like old movies. You remember the movie Cool Hand Luke? He was a guy who got put in jail, and the warden kept telling him, you can't get your mind right. You got to get your mind right. Well, make a long story short, Cool Hand Luke wound up dead because he couldn't get his mind right. You know? My friends, our country is headed down a road that is going to lead to destruction because we have opened our mind to the filth and the distraction and the influence of Satan. And we're about to be in trouble. I believe with all my heart there's one thing that's keeping this nation together. And that is that there is a remnant of Bible-believing, Jesus-preaching Christians who will not budge from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us be faithful. Let us put on that helmet of truth, or that helmet of salvation. And when the TV tells us what we're supposed to think, let's turn the TV off. When our schools tells us things that we know are contrary to the Word of God, let's turn them off too. And when society raises its head and goes all about political correctness, let's say we want to be God correct, not politically correct. My friends, there's a war going on. There is a battle going on. And if we're not suited for battle, we'll not be successful. I want to tell you, Christianity is no place for sissies. Okay? Christianity is no place for cowards. Christianity is for soldiers of the cross. And I think that you and I need to be reminded today, it's time for us to pick up the standard, to gird our waist, to put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel, having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel so that we can dig in and refuse to be moved. Putting that shield up that when those disappointing times come and Satan shoots his flaming arrows and tries to hurt and to harm, that we lift that shield of faith in Christ so that his attacks fall harmlessly to the ground. Putting on that helmet not allowing satanic influence to change the things that we know are right and true according to God's Word. You see, we need a standard. You know? This country needs a standard. One time, there was a time we had a standard. You know? God's Word said it, that's good enough. Now we're dismissing God's Word and every man's doing what's right in his own sight. And the end thereof is death. Oh, my friends, let us take up the armor of God. Are you a child of God? If not, you need to start today. Guess what? I know how this battle ends, don't you? Do you know how this thing ends? Jesus Christ is coming back and He's going to get us and we're going to meet Him in the air and then we're all going to come back and we're going to take things over. Okay? Or let me rephrase. Jesus is going to take this world over. And He's going to reign 1,000 years. And you may say, I don't like that. Too bad. It don't matter if you like it or not. This is coming. Whose side are you on? Are you a child of God? If not, Jesus Christ gave His life so that you could have eternal life. Have you called upon Him for salvation? If not, take care of that today. Take care of that today. We're going to have a verse of invitation. Maybe you're here today and you're fighting the battle. And we hadn't got into this part yet, but we get into this part next week. One of our key tools of battle is prayer. Maybe you just need to come to this altar and pray. Maybe you need to rededicate your life. Whatever the need is in your life, will you just be the soldier that Jesus has called you to be and answer His call? Our Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for the day. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for the reminder that we are fighting men and women. That we are to stand for the truth. That we are, Lord, to just honor You with our lives and not back down. May we fight the good fight for Your honor, for Your glory. Now, Lord, in this invitation, I pray that Your will be done. In Jesus' name.